praise the Lord. I want you to open your Bibles real quick to Ephesians chapter 5. And it's about 11:25, 26, something like that. If you'll just give me like about 20 minutes, I want to speak this word to you. Ephesians 5, let's jump right in. 5 and verse 15 and 16 in the New Living Translation reads like this. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Verse 16 says, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. One version says, seize every opportunity. One says, live circumspectly. Don't be like a fool, but be wise. Father, I thank you today, God, for everything that's happened this weekend, all the souls that were saved, all the lives that have been touched. Father, for the special music, everything that's happened here up to this point, I pray, God, that you would have just softened our hearts to hear what you have to give us so that we might be better and we might seize more opportunity, that we might live better than we've been living. Lord, we love you and give you praise in Jesus' name and everyone's. Amen. One more time in verse 16 says, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Now, I don't know about you, but there are so many opportunities that are before us. We have so much. And Wednesday night, I talked about seizing your opportunities. I'm going to touch a little bit on that. But I wanted to say this for sure, that a lot of times we see opportunity, but we don't seize the opportunity. We see it. We see the opportunity before us. We see it there. But for some reason, we just don't move. We don't grab a hold of the opportunity. And I said this on a Wednesday night as well. I wanted to recap is that if God brings you to it, then he'll bring you through it. And I love what James said earlier about the storm doesn't last forever, man. There's a day where the sun begins to shine. And of course, it's shining all the time. That's pretty good. But you got to do something. You got to step out. And most people see the opportunities. They see them. They're right to say, wow, look at how cool that is. But they never do anything with it. And I thought about Chris Staples. He was sharing his story. And I'll just share this for him that when he was in high school, he got cut as a senior. He got cut on the basketball team. How do you cut a guy like that? Okay, how would you like to be that coach? That coach has something very, very in common with Michael Jordan's high school coach. How would you like to be the coach who cut Michael Jordan? Just absolutely the GOAT, greatest player, greatest athlete of all. I mean, he's the greatest basketball player of all time. I know some of you might argue with me, and it might be LeBron, it might be Kobe, but Michael Jordan. And how do we like to be that? But you know why? Because they saw an opportunity, but they didn't seize the opportunity. They saw what the greatness of these kids, but they did not want to waste time. Sometimes we actually think opportunity is a waste of time, but it's not a waste of time. All the rehearsal, all the practice, all the reading, all the everything, all the investing, everything you do is not a waste of time, because what you sow, you will reap. And I want to talk to you real briefly today about don't miss your blessing. Don't miss your blessing. Your blessing is getting ready to pass you by. And if you don't grab your blessing when it's passing by, it's going to move on to somebody else. It's going to pass you right by. Now, in 2 Kings, there's a powerful story. I love this story. Preached many times out of it. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 through 17. Catch me if you can. Now, it happened one day that Elisha, everybody say Elisha, not Elijah, but Elisha, went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food with them, to have some dinner, to have some lunch. So it was as often as he would pass by their house in this area that he would stop there to eat. And verse 9 says, and she said to her husband, look now. I know that the holy man, the prophet of God, the man of God, I know he's coming. He's going to be passing by us all the time. He comes. This is his him and Gehazi, his armor bearer, his disciple. This is their path. They pass through here when they're going from here to there. They're doing ministry. They're on a mission. And this is where they pass by regularly, the Bible says there in verse 9. And then verse 10 says, please, let's make them a small upper room. On the wall, and let us put a bed there for them and a table and a chair and a lampstand, so it will be whenever they come by, they can turn in right here. In other words, let's make them a place that's comfortable, a place where they can stop and lay to rest, and even a little table so they can study and he can pray and he can get into worship and he can do all the things he needs to do. Let's build this for him, honey. What do you think about that? And verse 11 says, and it happened one day that he came there and he turned to the upper room and laid down there. They must have told him, hey, Elisha, come up here with us. He normally came into the living room, maybe, or into the dining area, and they fed him, you know, some good pita bread, some hummus, come on, somebody, some lentil soup, some Mediterranean food. And then they showed him, well, we got a surprise for you. Come on up here. They went up there and said, listen, we built you this guest room. There's bunk beds, one for you and one for Gehazi, or twin beds. And imagine how much that must have thought, because you remember they were going on a mission. They had to sleep outside. They had to sleep on rocks. They had to sleep in probably most uncomfortable places. But here, for the man of God, this people, they thought it enough to go ahead and build something for him. So that when he passed by, when he came by their house, when on their way from that side to this side, they would have some place where they could rest, some place where they could replenish, some place where they could pray, some place where they could get into the scrolls, some place they could just get here where he could hear from God, being the prophet of God, with that double anointing that he had. And I like this. In verse 12 says, then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite woman. When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, she said to him, say now to her, I'm sorry, and he said to him, to Gehazi, Elisha is saying to Gehazi, he's giving him orders, and he says this, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. In other words, you have been so thoughtful about us. What can I do for you, he said. How can I pray for you? What can I do to bless your life? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king, or maybe to the commander of the army to protect you guys, or what can I do for you? This is all she answered. She goes, I dwell among my own people. In other words, I don't need you to talk to the king. I don't need you to talk to anybody for me. I dwell among my own people. So he said this, then what is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son and her husband's getting old. So he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway, looked her right in the eyes, and he said this, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. Your barrenness is over, girl. You're about to receive the blessing you've been wanting all of your life. He said this, and she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. Now, earlier she said, this is the man of God, let's build for him. But when he says, I want to bless you, she says, no, please don't lie to me. You're just setting me up for a failure and a fall, and it's not going to happen, and then I'm going to be disappointed, then I'm going to get mad. And he goes, I stand up here Sunday after Sunday. The ministers stand up here Wednesday after Wednesday. My goodness, you listen to everybody on the podcast and on the internet. Every day you hear something, a word that God wants to bless you, and for some reason you answer the same way. Don't lie. I'm just going to, you're going to fail me. God's going to fail me. Don't say that. You know, you can't understand that God has so much for you. And you have a blessing that God has for you. And you can't let your blessing get by you. Come on, somebody. So he says this, but the woman conceived and bore a son when she had, at the appointed time, had come, and when Elisha had told her. So even though she doubted for a minute, and even though sometimes you doubt for a minute, the thing came to pass, and she had a son. Three things I want to bring out real quickly that will help you seize opportunity. Number one, you can't let your blessing get by you. Your blessing could pass you by so quickly. You have to keep your eyes open. That's why prayer is a must. That's why reading in your word is a must. That's why staying in church. Listen, there's too many people. I pass by on the way to church and I tell my wife this every Sunday. I go, look at all these people in their yards. They don't go to church, honey. She goes, we have a churchless society, babe. People don't think church is important. But it is these an hour and a half or 2 hours on Sunday morning could be the only word somebody gets all week. Because they're not self-learners and self-readers and motivated. And it could be the only thing they have. And so that's why it's so important to be in church. So important to corporately worship together. So important to read, to hear the Word of God together. Too many people are looking, but they're not looking at the right thing. Too many people are seeing the blessing, but they're not seizing the opportunity to get that blessing. This woman saw an opportunity. She told her husband, listen, imagine this, that we get to have the honor of being able to feed the prophet and his disciple. We have the honor. Why don't we take it to the next level? Let's don't just feed him. Let's give him place to. He looks so tired when he comes by and he's, hey, thank you guys so much. And then they get their bags, their backpacking. Yeah, they're prophets, but they're human. So he says, why don't we do it? Why don't we go to the next level? There's an opportunity here. So what she was saying is, I don't want to lose the blessing. If we can keep him here at least one more day, we don't want him here for just 1 hour. If he can sleep here, I'll make him some breakfast burritos like the ones the ladies team made us on yesterday. Oh, they were the bomb, amen. And let's make him some burritos for their way, and let's make sure that they feel good, get rested. That way, when they go on mission for God, that they'll have the rest they need. The anointing will be strong. Their eyes will be clear. Their heart will be in the right place. They'll have all the prayer they need. They'll have, and it'll happen right here in our house. So she says that. And obviously her husband didn't need a lot of coercing because he's the one going to build it, not her. Hey, why don't we do this? And like, oh, yeah, we, huh? Let me get my hammer. Just make me a breakfast burrito and something to drink. You have to see your blessing. This woman saw her blessing. She had to convince her husband. What about you? Do you see your blessing or do you seize your blessing? Are you looking at it right in the eye, but you're just going day after day, the same old story? Or are you stepping out and saying, I'm going to grab what God has for me. I'm going to do what God has said he's going to do for me. See, I'm here to let you know, don't miss your blessing. Don't miss what God has for you. You could blink your eyes one moment and it'll pass you by. Listen, we almost missed the besting of this church, this building, buying this church, the real estate broker that kept on approaching myself and Tony. Come on, you guys got to look at this. I kept on saying no and no and no. Four times I said no. It was until the fifth time that Sister Barbara and I and sat right there when the blue carpet was in here. There was no platform up here. It was ugly. It didn't look like anything. It was horrible. The outside was more worse than it is now, and the inside was just horrid. And we stood here, and my wife said, I don't feel it, honey, but let's pray. And we stood right there and we began to pray, and God began to open up her eyes, and he said, you've been seeing this building, you've been seeing this area of a town, and that's all you've done is see it. You have not seized the opportunity, and if you don't seize this opportunity now, you may never have it again. And that hour of prayer, hour and a half of prayer that we did here, we called that broker back, and I looked at him. She goes, what did your wife think? Because he knew I felt it, but she was kind of not feeling it. And I felt like, hey, I just want a building. I don't even care what it looks like. So what did your wife think? I go, we're in. Now talk to my broker. Don't talk to me no more. Talk to Tony. T.O. will take care of you from there on. See, first thing is don't miss your blessing. Second thing, real quickly, if you want to come to the keyboard, is if you're going to not miss your blessing, then you need to learn how to move right now. There are times when God says to wait, and there are times when God says move. My dad was real big on that. Dad used to tell us, me and my brother, you guys got to move, mijo. You can't just sit there. You've got to make some moves, man. If you don't make some moves, listen, if I would have never made a move, I wouldn't be married right now. I was telling Chris yesterday and Jaleb how big my afro was. I had that afro for a reason, because all my grandsons, then look at all those basketball players, they're all the same dude. I go, well, I had mine like that. And I said, and then I forget who I was telling. I said, look it. I said, but, oh, I was, we were at Padral's yesterday, and the owner, Mike Padral, he was, we were talking about afros, and I told him how mine was about this big and all that stuff. And he goes, yeah, but you know that was a tool, right, Pastor? And I go, yeah, I know it was a tool. I go, look, I scored pretty good right there. He just had, he was rolling over there. But you have to make moves, man. Man, Anthony made a move. Don't get embarrassed now. Anthony made a move. Now they're about to get married next month. Devin made a move. Where is that guy at? He ain't married yet. Oh, okay, all right. He's kids' church. He's in gang. He's ministry. Amen. You got to move. If Devin didn't have made that move, he'd be there the next 10 years, say, one of these days. Let's remember that everybody sees the same opportunities that we see, but not everybody has the courage to go ahead and step out and get that, what God gives them. And sometimes you look like what James was saying, you look like you're at it, like over here and over there, but you know what? People may not understand you. Your boss may not understand. The employees at your job might not understand you, but you gotta step out and make some moves. Not the kind of moves that are deceptive or manipulative. I'm talking about the moves that God says. He says, step, you step. If he says there's a step I want you to take, don't be afraid to take the step. You jump out and take that step. It'll be fear that tries to get you to stop. These people seized an opportunity that had they not made a move, their lives would have been the same and mediocre, and they would have never had a son. They would have never seen the promise happen in their lives. But because they were desperate for God and they just wanted to be a blessing to the man of God and his disciple Gehazi, they went ahead and stepped out. They stepped out beyond their fears, beyond their, they could have said, oh, I'm not going to ask him that because he won't want to stay with us. Look at our house. And why would he want to stay at our house? And we're nobody and we're nothing. But they said, no, if he passes by here, if he eats lunch at our house, if he can eat some nice homemade tortillas, some pita bread, man, he can stay here when he needs to. Why not? Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 62 in the Message version, he says, Jesus said, no procrastination, no backward looks. You can't put God's kingdom off till tomorrow. Seize the day. Let me read that again. I want you to get this. This is the Message version, Peterson's. Jesus said, no procrastination, no backward looks. You can't put God's kingdom off till tomorrow. Seize the day. The late Jim Valvano said this before he died of cancer. He had his only championship he ever won. Where do you think he won it at? Right here at the pit in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Live TV, worldwide, everybody watching him run across that thing on the pit floor when it was still called Bob King. I think it still is. He said this, life changes when you least expect it to. The future is uncertain. So seize this day. Seize this moment and make the most of it. See, I'm here to let you know, I'm here to declare to you that you would not just sit there and let your blessing get by you. This is the season of your blessing. Most people see it, but they don't get it. There's two kind of people here this morning. Those that let fear grip their heart, never ever sees anything. And there's those that fear missing the opportunity. See, if I don't grab this now, let me get it now. There's three things you got to do real quickly if you're going to rise up and seize opportunity in this season right here. Number one is you got to understand, you got to remember, don't forget that God is with you. That you possess something in your spirit. There's an anointing on your life. There's a spirit on your life that says, yes, you can. You got to remember, he's with you. Number two, God, God has not given you a spirit of fear. And number three, it takes faith. Listen, faith and fear do not mix. Fear is the opposite of faith, and faith is the opposite of fear. You have to stand in faith if you want to seize opportunity. I was sharing with James a couple of days ago. We passed by right here in San Mateo and Central, and I looked over at the bank. Can you imagine? Imagine Bill Gates walked into that First National Bank right there, I told him, and to a few other lending institutions in Albuquerque. And every one of them, especially First National Bank, who does not even exist anymore. He asked them for a loan, not even a big loan. And they turned him down. So he took his talents to Seattle. Was it Seattle or did he take it to Silicon Valley? Took it to just Northern California. You know how LeBron said, I'm taking my talents to Miami. Well, guess what? He took his talents to the Silicon. Well, it wasn't a Silicon Valley. They gave him a loan. And guess what happened? Guess what happened? Bill Gates became one of the wealthiest person, one of the two wealthiest persons in the world. That banker didn't see. He saw an opportunity, but he didn't seize it. You know why? Because fear came on. What if he fails? How would I like to be that banker? There are people who see and people who seize. Which one are you? Who are you? The third and last point is not only does it's important for you to make sure and be solid about not letting your blessing get by you. Not only do you need to move when God says to move, but lastly, it is vital that you invest in your blessing. These people invested. They went down to Home Depot, got some 2x4s, got some 5/8, you know, sheetrock, got some mud. They got some sheetrock screws. They got some electrical wire. They put him a little electrical wire for his iPad, his iPod, his whatever. They did all, they handled all that business. They got a little room all nice. They got a nice light in there, a nice little LED light. They got it all together for him. And he walked in that house. It was like, wow. It's kind of like how you girls look when you walk in that woman's bathroom. Like, wow, it is good for us to be here. You know? They invested. They invested in a room. Just a room. But not just a room. It was a place where the prophet of God would hear from God. It was a place where he would sleep and pray, read and sleep and pray. And then when he was passing by again, he would come back. And the Lord put it in their hearts to invest. But you know, fear could have stopped them. Her husband said, listen, it's going to cost the man about, you know, easily $1,600 to build this room, maybe even $2,000. Come on, honey, we don't got that kind of money. We're saving money for this and that. And he could have maybe even gave some excuses, or maybe she could have even given those excuses too. But she says, no, let's build the room. And obviously he said, yes, they built the room. Man, put some nice flooring inside there. It smelled good. Good place for Gehazi also, and him both as well, to feel comfortable up there. Use them. Why? Because this woman and this man invested in their blessing. They made an addition to their home. I wonder how many of you this morning need to make an addition in your life. See, you got to make room for your blessing. Some of you don't have no room for your blessing. Doubt has clouded you. Fear grips you. Man, instead of saying, you know what, I got to make some room. And the best way to make some room is to empty your heart of all that junk. Get rid of some pain and some stain and get rid of all that stuff and let God make some room for God to come and bless your life. Let him bless you spiritually. Let him bless you. Listen, God has blessings for you. Unless you make room for your blessing. If they wouldn't have made room for their blessing, there would have been no son. They would have, listen, who knows how long they would have even lived. They probably would have died off. But instead, she got pregnant. All of a sudden, daddy's like, hey, I may be old, but I can still move in this place. Man, they must have been dancing around saying, we're going to have a kid. My wife's pregnant. Oh, Harry was walking around like a defeated old man. Now all of a sudden this guy's got pep in his step. He's out in the yard fixing things. He says, man, look at how nice a job I did in that room. Let me go out and fix my fence. Let me go out and do this. Let me go out and do that. Listen, I want you to know something right now. All of a sudden the blessings of God begin to pour into the Shumanite's house. All of a sudden the Spirit of God begin to move through their house and move in their house, and their lives change forever. Listen, don't let your blessing get by you. It's so vital. It's so crucial that you make room for your blessing. If you don't make room for your blessing's going down the block. John 10:10, the famous scripture, the thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That word abundantly means excessive and overflowing and surplus. What's wrong with some excessive blessings from God? See, some of you can't handle that. Right, even right now you're saying, oh, that's good for them. That may be good for you, but I'm never going to get blessed. I'm never going to feel those. Yes, you are if you step out in faith and get rid of your fear. Yes, you are if you receive the word of God as giving you today. You can't let your blessing get by you. This word describes the life of the believer, of what God has placed for the believer to live a life of more than enough, a life of over and above, above the ordinary, and more than just sufficient, just barely scraping by. God says, I got more for you in your health. I got more for you in your spirit. I got more for you in your finances. Listen, I got more for you in your family. Listen, your marriage might be on the rocks, but if you'll tap into my presence and invest in the and make some room for a blessing in your marriage, I guarantee you right now, I will shine over your marriage. I will do something that nobody believed could happen, and you'll be a testimony. From the very beginning of time, Scripture shows us that God wants to bless us, that He wants to prosper us. He gave Adam and Eve the whole garden. It was until sin came in that they began to ruin that stuff. And I want you to know something right now, right here in this text, Jesus begins to declare His intention to recover and to restore what the devil had stolen from Adam and Eve. He said, listen, I know you've been under this curse, but I showed up now, and what I'm about to do is to recover and restore the covenant that was given to you through God, through my father, through your father. He's going to restore that covenant, and your life's going to change forever. The enemy tries to block you from this, but God is saying, no, I have so much for you. So there are people who see, and there are people who sees. Who are you? Don't miss your blessing. Seize your opportunity. Make an investment. Make some room for your blessing. Make some room for God to move. And by all means, don't stand still. Bow your heads with me. Nobody moving around, please. Just give me a few more moments, if you will. I feel the presence of God here, so heavy, so thick. I believe God's been moving since the beginning of this service. He has moved all of service up to this point to do exactly what He wants to do right now. If you will make a move, if you will make a decision to invest in making room for your blessing, if you will seize this opportunity and not just see it, God says, I'm getting ready to pour out in you. I'm getting ready to impregnate you with vision. I'm getting ready to pour into your life things you never thought could happen. You're not too old. You're not too sick. You're not too far gone. I've chosen you for this time, for a time such as this. I'm going to raise some of you up right now, the Lord says. The Lord says, even right now, I'm going to do something so spectacular that if I'd have told you, you wouldn't even believe. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And as this song, in just a moment, I'm going to unleash them to sing this song. And as they sing this song, I want to open up these altars for those of you that said, I want to make room for my blessing. For those of you that say, you know what, I'm not going to let my blessing pass by my house ever again. I've let too many blessings pass by my house. Listen, I'm going to make an altar call for those that say, you know what, I've been sitting still and I need to make a move, man. I need to get a hold of God like never before. I need to hear from God. For those who've been barren spiritually, God says, I'm going to fill you. I'm going to fill you up. You're going to birth things that you never thought you can birth from all over this place, from all over this place. As they begin to sing this song, and listen, what kind of person are you? Are a person...